B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the horn is going to sound here at TD Garden. The Boston Bruins come from behind. A four-goal outburst in the third period. Aided by two power play strikes early in that final stanza. Have taken game one of the Eastern Conference Final by a score of 5-2 over the Carolina Hurricanes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday, Mass.
Agenda free.
It's just agenda free. Agenda free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com.
Very measured by
Suck
you.
It, Murray.
Someone gets a gold star.
We all get opening takes and we go to the phones. It's as simple as that. Everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to. Obviously, a prime area of focus today will be the Bruins. Victory last night against the Carolina Hurricanes, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Have at it at 617-779-0985. We have Release the Hounds. As you load up, we'll give opening takes. Murray, do you want to go first?
It's because I want to start with the Bruins. I was in the building last night, and I know we'll get to that kitten, Dougie Hamilton, and whether or not those penalties that were called on him were warranted in the third. But what I want to say about them is good. I'm glad that they happened because the Bruins were owed them. They were owed those penalties because they were getting screwed six ways to Sunday by the refs in the second period. Now, were they also getting outplayed? Yes. After the first 4 minutes, they were getting completely outplayed and outclassed by that Carolina team, which their speed is a problem. But they could have used a whistle and some help, and they blatantly missed too many men on the ice by Carolina. No hand in the air, no whistle. They blatantly missed Zdeno Chara getting railroaded and boarded at one point in the second period. No whistle, no arm in the air. I was apoplectic, as were most of the people in the building, and I would imagine watching at home. So when they called those iffy penalties on little kitten Dougie in the third, good. I'm glad that they happened. They were owed those penalties because they were getting screwed by the refs as well. And I'm typically not Mike from Woburn, tinfoil hat, Alex Jones, it's a conspiracy against the Bruins, and it's a conspiracy against my team. I'm typically not that. I don't usually stoop to that level. In this case, I'm going to. If you find it unbecoming and disgusting, the hell with you both, or anyone else that feels differently.
You give it a conspiracy, or just poor officiating?
No, I think it was poor officiating. It was poor officiating all around. And maybe, because I've now seen this talked about as well, at least on Twitter, it just means that the NHL wants the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final. And to that I say, good. I don't blame them for that either. Not just because I'm biased and I want the Bruins to win and I'm a fan of them and I love this team this year. No, because if you're the NHL, what the hell would you even want the Hurricanes in the finals for anyway? It's been a cute story. You got it. You got what you had. And now hopefully that's running out of steam because they actually look like, you know, what we've seen out of the Bruins in the third period, and they did prove their resiliency again. But did they get some help? Yeah, a little bit. And to that I say good. And just another thing as an aside, someone needs to talk to the Bruins equipment manager, because it looked like their sticks were made out of wheat in that first period. I've never seen that many broken sticks in that short period of time. So fix that. And also fix the ice, because that still seems like that might have been an issue.
Maybe they got a bad lot of sticks or something.
There's Murray's opening take. Mash, you want to go next?
Yeah, I do. And look, obviously we're in the middle of the spring postseason here, although the Celtics have now been eliminated. But we haven't talked much baseball this week, and I've missed a couple of baseball reporters. And I firmly am a believer in someone having to hit enough to justify their defense. I believe in that no matter how good you are defensively, particularly in the outfield, you have to hit enough. Nonetheless, there are certain defensive plays that happen from time to time that do warrant a little bit of attention, and so I give you this.
Two-run home run earlier tonight. He drives one to right field, sending Reddick back. He's at the wall. He jumps. He makes a tremendous catch. He robs a three-run home run. Reddick, that is one of the best catches you will see the entire season, and considering the moment, that is right there with the Jackie Bradley Jr. saving catch last night.
Nope, it was better, actually. It was better than Jackie Bradley's catch from the night before, if you ask me. Josh Reddick pulled one out of the seats to help the Astros win a game last night. And so, you know what my point is to this?
You are unbelievable.
I know, I've set people up.
Seriously,
I did. I set you up. You know what my point is? See? other people make catches like that too. See? And some of those guys actually hit a little bit. Josh Reddick batting .336 this season with an OPS of .832. He doesn't have to suck offensively to make a game-saving catch, which he did last night for the Astros, pulling a three-run homer out of the seats in the ninth inning. Just wanted to bring that up. That's all. Because I said this to you yesterday. I knew what I was going to get last night on the Baseball Reporters had we had a program, which we didn't. But nonetheless, I knew what I was going to get. Blah. Yeah, Mads, how do you like Bradley now? Blah. Even though you get one of those a year, maybe two. That's it. Josh Reddick, .336. That's what I like, and he made the same play last night effectively that Bradley did.
617-779-0985. Mine's quick. It's rare, Maz, that, we set something up and then it comes through. The other day, starting to set up Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes, we did a segment on the aforementioned Dougie Hamilton about watch this, okay? You know, the whole Ovechkin thing. He ducks out of that Ovechkin hit. JR rips him. We all know Doug Hamilton's history and makeup, and we say this is a guy keep an eye on. This is a guy they can exploit physically and mentally. And we did that Wednesday. And wouldn't you know it, game one, boom, there it is. Very rare on this program to actually forecast something like that, but that did not take long for you to find your punching bag in this series. And his name is Douglas Jonathan Hamilton Jr., Dougie Hamilton. Boy, did he live up to every sort of thing we had about him going into that game. I do have a warning, is that we played you that sound from JR again a couple days ago after the Ovechkin thing, and that made it 3-2 Capitals, and everyone, JR chief among them, said, well, that's it for the Hurricanes. They can't survive that. How could you have a guy that prominent play that many minutes, be that big a part of your team, and come back and win a series being down 3-2 to the defending Stanley Cup champions? The Hurricanes are cooked, said JR. Done. And most everyone agreed. And the Hurricanes then won 6 straight. They then came back and won that series and swept the next one. So I don't know how they've survived Dougie Hamilton to this point, but they have. And maybe they've even rallied around him. And if the Hurricanes are listening to Boston radio today or whatever's happening on Twitter, I don't even know. I can assume what's happening there, then they have plenty of things to rally around. Because not only do they survive Douglas there in the first round, seems like that was a turning point for them. Again, the Ovechkin duck out. But you saw it over and over again last night. And just to give you a really good take, I'll defer to my buddy Tony Amonte last night on the NBC Sports Boston postgame show. Right when these games are over on TV, flip on over to us, and we'll give you this kind of commentary. Amonte wasted no time talking about Dougie Hamilton. Give me one.
He's still scared. He's still looking for Ovechkin. Ovechkin's not playing, though, Dougie. But this one, he just tries to, you know, take the hit. You can see him looking over his shoulder there. Doesn't want to play the puck at all. Gets up a little bit high on Nordstrom, and he's going to go to the box every time. The referee's right there standing in front of him. You can't get up high on a guy. That's the game winner on this power play for the Boston Bruins. He takes another one right after this on David Backes. Another bad penalty. I just think Dougie Hamilton, he's a guy the Bruins need to key in on this series. Go after him every time, every chance you get.
And that's it. And they already have. Mentally, physically, the whole thing.
I mean, I think the mental thing is a big part of it. That guy's brittle.
And, you know, so NHLers like Roenick and Amonte watch this guy play and go,
oh, it must make them sick.
Oh, it does. It makes them sick. They say, you can't do that. You can't win that way. But Carolina somehow has won that way. So that's like the bad news. Good news, Dougie Hamilton is still Dougie Hamilton. And you can get to him, and it didn't take long for you to get to him. The bad news is, they're winning in spite of it, or maybe because of it. I don't know. But Amonte almost said, I don't know if he was on the air or off the air, but he said to me, you know, Carolina is a perfect place for Dougie. Because they don't know. They don't know a hockey puck from a breakfast biscuit. No one pays attention. No one has any idea about the game. So he can play like a Sally and no one even notices. Didn't work here. Calgary, no shot in Canada. He actually played in a Canadian market. Took them 5 minutes to figure out what he was about. Tried to trade him. And so Carolina's a perfect spot. There's no scrutiny there for some of the finer points of the game. But here, or someone who plays in the league, give me another Monte quickly.
That's just a cheap play in the NHL in my book.
So that one right there.
When you've got two guys battling for a puck. The third guy into that scrum usually comes in looking for the puck, trying to get the puck away. You take the guy out like that, that's definitely a penalty. That's how Dougie Hamilton's been playing. He's one of the softest players on defense. I think the Bruins are going to have a field day against him.
Okay, and even though he's taking those penalties, those are, it starts with his softness.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah, he's scared. He's scared. And we all saw it in that first round on that Ovechkin one. That was the biggest bailout I think I've ever seen in the NHL of a defenseman going back for a puck and just leaving it so he doesn't get hit. And that's how he plays, and that's why he's been on his third team. He's 25 years old.
Okay. Soft, scared. That's strong commentary. And you know that gets back to Hamilton and that team. How do they respond to it? Apparently they did. Because they got the same thing when the Ovechkin. I mean, Ovechkin's on the ice giving him the chicken wings. I mean, is, you don't get shown up worse than that. I mean, that's rare in that league. Because if you do that in that league, you have to answer for it. I mean, there's going to be
repercussions. Yeah, there typically is. Yeah.
You're going to have to. Apparently there's not. And Carolina keeps winning in spite of it. Interesting. So just that's the little warning sign right there. That everything we felt about Hamilton is true. It was right there in front of you in one game. But... Ask the Capitals about the same thing. All right, to your calls, as promised. Here's Richie in North Quincy. What do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I got to tell you, I got to agree with Big Jim's opening take, and he didn't even hit on half of the penalties. Pastrnak got pitchforked to the face 10 feet away from the referee, and the referee's staring at it. 2 minutes in, Marchand gets the stick slashed out of his hand. No penalty. If he did that, they'd be reviewing it up in Toronto.
Okay, I can only take 20 seconds of this.
So, honestly, can I just jump in here?
Please do.
Because my issue with the officiating last night was not the calls that they missed on the Bruins. Oh, you're going to get that every game, for crying out loud. I don't want to hear that. I thought the whole thing was way too ticky-tack. This is the conference finals. You're how many minutes into the game, and Corrali, you know, sticks his glove in another guy's face, and that's roughing now? That's what we're going to do? In the conference finals, that's the kind of garbage they're going to call. Like, that was my issue. I'm not talking about one side or the other. I'm talking about the tone of the game.
They were all soft.
Oh, my God, what are you doing? So the only, I shouldn't say the only one because I'd have to go through them all.
The stall boarding was pretty strong.
I thought Hamilton, you know, drilling Backus was kind of cheap.
Well, as Amonte, I mean, I think that's borderline. Amonte says the third guy in, if you're not going for the puck, that's a penalty.
I mean, he just lined him up. Yeah. Like anybody, to me, that's the equivalent of two guys fighting another guy at a bar. One of them holds him up and the other guy hits him. That's how it felt to me. And I thought, that is so cheap.
Well, I hated the inconsistency too. Because like you said, those ones that they were calling were ticky-tack. But then, I don't know, they were letting some brutal stuff go. So it's
too
like
many whistles.
One or the other.
Oh my God, please.
Play.
Good. Stop with the bull crap. It's a conference final. Would you let them fight it out? That's what I'm here for. Like, I don't need you to get in the way. Now, the irony is that actually, I think the tighter they call it, the more it'll benefit the Bruins.
Definitely.
They have the better special teams. So it made a difference last night. They got two power play goals. But I don't want to see it called that way. Oh, that drove me crazy when I saw that call in Corrali. I said, are they going to do this? Like, this is what they're going to do in the conference final. You get to this point, and all of a sudden the officials are going to become part of the story? Oh, please, swallow the whistles. Go away.
Off and running on an Agenda Free Friday. Back to you after this.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, but you're always ready for an opportunity, so, you know, tonight's another opportunity to go out and play.
Camper shoots, he scores! Svechnikov with a shot, tipped in by Sebastian Aho, straight away. 3 seconds.
Ovechkin's gone on the power play. Hand off for Greg McTagg, busting in far wing. His shot, they score! Rask had it, he lost it, no signal, and I think that'll count.
And obviously when they took the lead, it was one of those things that we talk about, being resilient, and, you know, every team talks about that, but we have that belief, and just like every other team, and, you know, our big guy stepped up.
Right circle, Marchand, one-timer, out in front, they score!
Hamilton's getting the penalty. Nordstrom was coming in for a hit on Hamilton. He tried to have a reverse hit, and he came up a little bit with the elbow.
Marchand center fired. They score! Patrice Bergeron.
Backus got hammered by Dougie Hamilton as he was fighting the puck, and Hamilton takes another penalty. Dougie Hamilton having a meltdown.
I just watched both of them, so I didn't agree with either. So
the Boston Bruins come from behind, a four-goal outburst in the third period. Have taken game one of the Eastern Conference Final.
I think this time of year, as long as the team's winning, I think anyone would feel good. Couldn't care less about who scores and who does what. As long as we get it done together, that's the main thing, and I think that's one of the strengths of this team, that we have 20 guys that can do it, and I think we've showed that more than once.
All right, I got a lot of Bruins thoughts for you, but let's mix them in with your thoughts, because that's what we do. Jack in Chicago, a good Bruins fan in Chicago. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, it's Jeff. I'm sorry.
Okay, our good Bruins fan in Chicago. Jeff, go.
Awesome. Appreciate it. First time, long time. Just wanted to let you guys, I want to know your thoughts on Carolina's offense, the whole series. This whole series going forward, I feel like the Bruins capitalized like they should have. I think Rask was great, but I'm kind of still scared about the Carolina's offense. So just want to know your guys' thoughts on it. Thanks.
Okay, here's my general thought. Is that it surprised me. This occurred to me last night. How we are now, 14 games into it. They're 9-5.
Right.
They've won 9 of 14 games. They're in the conference finals. They're 3 wins away from the Stanley Cup final. And I feel like they haven't been the better team in any of these series. I know that's sort of an exaggeration, but I feel there were large portions, maybe the majority of the first round, where Toronto was better. And then there were long stretches against Columbus, again, maybe over 50% of the time, where Columbus was better. And I thought last night, at best, it was 50-50 in terms of the better team up and down the ice. And then it occurred to me, well, how'd you get here? And how'd you win last night? And then it occurred to me, I think you have this really winning quality to you. Whether it's, you know, your vets who have been there, that have won a cup, your experience, the role that you're on, your goaltender, the confidence you get from him out, whatever it is, I think the Bruins are not demonstrably better than these teams. I think Toronto is a better team. I think Columbus is, we can argue back and forth. And last night, I thought the teams were equal. But when it came time to win and close, you've got that and these opponents don't. Toronto clearly doesn't. Columbus didn't. And last night was all about a couple of mistakes or bad calls in the third period, and you take advantage. And that's who you are. And that makes you a better team, and that's why you are where you are. But if you're asking me 60 minutes up and down the ice, 5-on-5, are you really that much better than Carolina?
No.
I mean, you weren't last night. That's all I know.
No, in fact, I thought they got outplayed last night. Now, look, I think as the Columbus series wore on, I think it became apparent to me that the Bruins just were better than Columbus. Columbus was good, but the Bruins were better. And the goalie was a big part of it. I mean, once Columbus lost the goalie, it felt to me like they just didn't have the depth to beat the Bruins. But that said, man, they know how to elevate, don't they?
They do. Right. So
They know how to elevate.
So they're that team. And here's what's important about last night. Carolina had some calls go against it, and they couldn't respond. The Bruins, throughout the course of this, have had some calls go against them, and they've brushed them off or overcame them.
They keep going.
Off the net in Columbus, the Panarin goal shouldn't have been. They were okay. They won that game. They've had a slew, like all these teams. You have a slew of close calls that are either allowed or brought back. Challenges that they've won. DeBrusk's goal in Columbus that just snuck through Bobrovsky. They won that one. The one that got through Rask in Game 5 here in Boston against Columbus. They lost that one. There was a goalie interference against Toronto in one of those games that was a really close call. The Bruins lost that one. You know, so they've had good and bad go against them, just like all these teams. But the Bruins have generally won when they've had those bad calls go against them. It's how you respond. You're going to have bad calls against you. You're going to have good calls for you and bad calls against you. What do you do when you have bad calls against you? The Bruins have generally withstood it. Carolina last night did not. And that's it. To me, that's the difference.
I mean, in the simplest sense, they were without McAvoy last night.
I mean, what an opportunity for the Hurricanes, right?
Right. And you know what? There were times in that game where I thought they missed him. And so, but you know, they get the penalty on him in Columbus in that game, and then he misses this one. They won them both.
Exactly.
They won them both. And so, you know, and then if you want to, like, even take it further, who scored the first goal last night? The guy who wouldn't have been in the lineup, for crying out loud. Like, it was a great pass by Johansson. What a pass that was. Holy crap, what a pass. I thought that was unbelievable. So the goal to me was about the setup as much as it was the shot, or more so. But they do. They know how to elevate at the right time. They really do.
So that's great. That's a great quality for a team to have. And I think they have it. I think they showed it all year, and it's finally translated to the postseason. Let's grab Luke in Vermont. We did not hear from him the last couple of days. Maybe, I don't know, Luke, are you okay?
Honestly, I've been a sports fan for almost 30 years, and that was the most disappointing, discouraging, infuriating season and playoffs of my life, because they had the talent to be successful and they underachieved. And I loved the show yesterday and the day before, and I foolishly never, I was faithful to Kyrie, believed in him all the way up until game 3 and 4 at the Garden. That's when I gave up on him. And I totally agree with you guys that he cannot be the leader going forward. And unless he was to humble himself, but he's never going to do that when he can walk out the door. It's way easier to walk to New York and join up with KD or Brooklyn or whoever than it is to come back and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, any of that stuff. That's not going to happen. But it was just amazing season in all of the worst ways.
Luke, I said this yesterday, one of the biggest disappointments in Celtics history for a franchise that just doesn't do that. And I was just trying to say, like, what else would I compare it to? And it occurred to me, like, what was one of the biggest fail in Celtics history of our lifetime? Pitino.
Oh, that was a disaster, yeah.
Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Was, you know, one of the few times you say they just got it so wrong and messed it up so royally. And it's so unlike them. I'm not telling you they win every year. Obviously, they've only won once since Bird. So, you know, like everybody else in the NBA, they have ups and downs, and it's a hard league. So I'm going to tell you, they obviously don't win every year. But it's rare that they just blow it and fail. It's not what the Celtics do in my lifetime. It's just not that kind of team.
It's actually a pretty good comp, too, because that thing started with a tease. Remember that first game was against the Bulls, and they won?
Yeah.
Everyone was like pants off, like, oh, it's a new era of Celtics basketball.
I mean, he starts with those draft picks. You think you're getting Duncan, and, you know, so that whole thing, like Pitino. Like, I was just trying to think, like, what else would I equate that to? Because, you know, you lost a final to the Lakers here a couple years ago, but Perk got hurt. You were on the road. I don't consider that a terrible fail. You didn't choke that.
You had the lead with a minute to go in the game. You choked it away.
That's up.
You should have won 2 out of 3. You didn't.
Yeah, but this was
yeah,
different.
Yeah, I'm still pissed about that one.
I don't put it on the level of this.
No, because this was a culture thing. This was their attitude sucked. They had talent. I think this is even worse than Pitino for that reason. Pitino didn't know what the hell he was doing. He never built a team that we looked at and said.
I'm just saying.
No. I'm not.
Pitino was a great fail in Celtic history.
Huge.
Okay.
Huge.
And this is on the order of that.
Yeah, and then the snake ran out the back door. I'm still waiting for that closing press conference.
Right. So all of that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, this is what Kyrie Irving. I'm going to lump him with Pitino.
Oh yeah. No. This was a disaster. From a sports standpoint, this season was a disaster.
We've got Brian in Gardner. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. You know that the reffing was awful the other night? Is that Marchand goes into the corner, and instead of getting involved in the scrum, he grabs Clifton by the head and drags him out of there so there's no other penalties, because no one knows what a penalty is in there.
Wasn't that unbelievable? And didn't you love Cassidy afterwards? You hear him?
Turning over a new leaf, eh, Marshy?
That was unbelievable.
Oh, it was ridiculous. But again, the whole game bugged the crap out of me. I didn't think that's about to me was about the. I shouldn't say the only good thing Marchand did last night. I didn't think Marchand had a great game, and I think he was the number three or number two star. I think it was number three, and I thought he was turning the puck over at times. Same with Pasternak. I found that game frustrating on so many levels.
I also found those guys had more room though. I also felt that first line from the very first two shifts of the game. I felt, oh, this is different. Because Carolina, as quick as they are, and as much as they matched you up and down the ice, their D is soft. It's not just Hamilton. Their D is different. This is a different kind of team than Columbus for sure. And I felt right from the jump that that Bergeron line was had more room, more time and space. And I don't know if that continues, but I felt that last night. But the Marchand thing, that was quite a turn, wouldn't you say? Here's an update, then we're back with more.
Turning over a new leaf, hey, Marshy?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dougie Hamilton took two timely penalties there in period number three. As much as a power play can be a momentum builder, how much can untimely penalties be a momentum killer for a team?
Rally kill. They're rally killers. No, been part of the pun with Raleigh, but rally killers. You can't take untimely penalties. They teach you that in novice. They teach you that in Adam. And if you're playing in the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, you know that you can't take those types of penalties. It's not about the quote-unquote calls. And Dougie Hamilton is a nice offensive defenseman for the Canes. He's made some big plays, really effective on the power play. That's where they need him to shine. Yes, I know that you're back playing in Boston. It's your original team that drafted you out of the OHL from the Niagara Ice Dogs. But you got to make some timely decisions, good reads. You can't let your emotions get the best of you. And I think that he did that on those two penalties.
Kevin Weeks, NHL Network on Dougie Hamilton. I think there were soft calls. I think there were soft calls all over the ice. I'm with you, Miz. God, I hate the way that game was called.
Oh, brutal. Just way too ticky-tack. I mean, again, a trip to the cup finals is at stake here. Put the whistles away.
What are we doing? So I'm with you. But the story again to me, as I said last segment, is how you respond to it, because there's going to be ones that go against you and for you the whole run through.
Sure.
I really do believe they all balance out. So we spend generally very little time on the officiating, because it really, at the end of the day, it comes out in the wash. It really does. It's, do you let it affect you? And succumb to it and make that a reason why you lost and then blame it? Or do you survive it? And I think the Bruins have done a good job this postseason of surviving the calls that have gone against them or the circumstances that have gone against them. The Hurricanes, just the opposite. And I do wonder if they get it, because they spent a fair amount of time, and I'm not going to blame the Hurricanes for their media, but it was the driving story among the Carolina media contingent, and it was just... the first question right out of the chute in all these press conferences. Want to hear from Dougie Hamilton first? Here's Dougie Hamilton in the locker room on all those calls.
Where?
Here comes a dramatic reenactment from Big Jim Murray.
Where? Meow. I'm a puss and a ginger. Where? Where? I don't want to get hit.
It's actually better. Yeah, it's probably better than the real sound. Go ahead.
I just watched both of them, so... I didn't agree with either, so not much else to say. It's the game's over now, and nothing you can do about it now.
Doug, was part of the penalties undisciplined, or was it unfortunate?
I don't think they're penalties, so neither.
Did you get an explanation for them?
No.
Is it harder to lose a game like this when you have that plus the lead going into the third?
Yeah, for sure. It stings, I think. Obviously, we know we can be better, obviously, but it stings when you lose like that, for sure.
It's just such the wrong answer. The answer is we have to overcome it. That's the deal. Sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't. And when you don't, you've got to kill the penalty and win in spite of it. That's the answer. He just accepts defeat there and says it's the refs. And of course it stings because of that. Was it undisciplined or just trying too much? Well, they were bad calls, so it was neither. I mean, no.
That just sums up what he's always been.
So what he's always been. I wonder about that team. So... a lot of this happened, I'm telling you, against Ovechkin and the Capitals, and the Hurricanes still won. In fact, they closed out that series with two straight and then won the next four, sweeping the Islanders. So they've not only overcome it, that I don't know, maybe they rally around little Dougie, or I don't know. I don't know, but he clearly doesn't get it.
No, he definitely doesn't get it.
And the coach, even... so here's Rod Brind'Amour. We put together the three questions and answers. The first two questions right out of the chute from their press corps was the refs and the refs. And so they're already obsessed... And Brenda Moore gets it kind of, I guess. I don't know. You be the judge.
Do you have any thoughts on Dougie Hamilton's interference penalty?
Which one?
The first one.
There's no point commenting on that. I mean, there were penalties both ways, I thought, were called and not called. So, I mean, there's no point in getting into the officiating.
Chris, front left. Did you think Dougie was playing on the line tonight to get those penalties? Or?
Well, he's playing on the edge. We all were. I mean, not me. But, I mean, the guys were, he was trying to be engaged and maybe he took it too far. And so I haven't really even looked at him. I was frustrated as everybody on some of the calls. But, again, I think we got to kill him. Take penalty, we got to kill him. We didn't do that.
Thank you. Rod, did you get any advance warning that they might be calling it tight with the penalties in your talks before the series? Or?
Yeah, they do that every time. So, again, I'm not going to talk about that. I mean, we took penalties, we'd kill them. Whether they're good or not, whether there was some let go that we thought should have been called. I mean, that's going to happen every night. So, we got to come up with a better way to kill them. And when we get to our power plays, we got to make them count. Simple.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Okay, so he kind of gets it, kind of ish.
Well, I mean, from what I understand, he was a pretty well respected guy in his career.
Oh, yeah,
career,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He was a legit
two time Selke winner, yeah, I think. Yeah. Like, two way player.
Definitely.
Strickson's a little odd, but like watching him, he's kind of a different cat. But at least he said, the comment I agree with was it happens every night. Like, you got to keep playing. I give Hamilton 3 years there. And then they'll move him.
Well, I think they tried to move him this year.
Oh, did they?
I think they did. Everywhere he's been, they've tried to get rid of him. But
I mean, that's the pattern, right? 3 years and see you later.
The only chance he's got is in a place like Carolina where they really don't know the game or really don't pay attention.
Florida Panthers, that would be the true perfect spot where they
Phoenix.
Really don't care.
If you get some, Roenick, Amante, any ex-NHLer watches him play and says, what? The guy's constantly looking over his shoulder. Like, why do you keep looking over your shoulder? So that's Doug Hamilton. Long commercial free segment is next on an Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
And a season uncomfortable from the start ends with a whimper tonight in Milwaukee. The final score, Milwaukee 116, Boston 91.
Yeah, who cares?
So no one told us that this team would play this way.
Hey, you suck!
The D's a joke, they choke. The coach says dumb cliches.
I did a bad job.
It's like they're always stuck in second gear.
Yeah, who cares?
Tatum's overrated, Hayward sucks. Don't forget that bum, Terry Rozier here. And Kyrie's a whiny douche.
I'm definitely taking some things up.
Kyrie's a whiny douche.
I had to, call Brian.
Kyrie's a whiny douche.
Ask me Jalop first.
Kyrie's a whiny douche.
So take your friend's gear, go to New York, and f*** you.
Gender Free Friday continues. Everything from the week again. Stylings of Big Jim Murray. Any developing opinions on Kyrie Irving today? Because that's still the lead story. I'm sorry. I'm all into the Bruins, and I know how important that is, and believe me, I'm there. But I think this colossal fail that no one saw coming and was just, I mean, we had them in the finals. Everyone did. And not only were they not in the finals, they were an Eastern Conference middler.
Including Jaylen Brown had him in the finals before they even played a game.
For their seventh ring. How that turned into this is, to me, an epic story. So, anything new?
I mean, what a meltdown. I can't remember if we said this yesterday, that comment that an anonymous teammate had to Jeff Goodman. Did you see that
one? I did not.
Did we mention that on the air? That there was a, Murray, you saw that, right? There was a comment out there from, and maybe it was from earlier in the year, but that Jeff Goodman reported that a teammate had said to him, boy, playing with him is not easy, man. It's all about him, right? And like, which is consistent with everything we thought. I mean, it's exactly what you'd expect, and it's the tip of the iceberg.
But you know what? It and I keep going back to this. It's, you didn't really think that because he fit last year. When he came in last year, we had none of this nonsense. None of it. Not only that they won, but the tone. He never talked about having to lead these guys and show these guys what to do. He never did that in year one.
It was weird, right?
Never.
Like, weird that it changed the way it did.
And then all of a sudden in year two, after he was here a year, all of a sudden, he started acting like he was taking over a bunch of 17-year-old kids that he had to bring into adulthood. Like, and I think you nailed it, Maz, that he got his back up when they went on that run, and suddenly Kyrie, you know, well, this is my team. I'm the star.
You get insecure about it.
And he had to establish that thing, which is just, I find deplorable, and I have no time for.
I mean, even Marcus Smart's comments in the last, you know, day from yesterday, I think it was, maybe it was the night before, the ones where he said, you know, how hard it was for Kyrie, don't they kind of lend fuel to the theory that Kyrie saw it as a hard for, like, it was hard for him to come into a good team?
But,
but I mean, he was insecure about it. Just come in and play.
But it was year two.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
No, but they went.
No, so what I'm saying is,
they made the run without him last year.
Yes, but they made the run without him, but he was with the team for whatever, 60 games. Where was he? There was no adjustment last year, those first 60 games.
No.
They were terrific. And he didn't run his yapper. He just came in and played, and they were fine. And so what? And then all of a sudden, year two, he's got to go act like, I got to bring these kids along and show them what to do, and my greatness transcending to their greatness. And
no, it's probably because, like, you know, the younger guys, Tatum, Rozier, Brown, they realized, okay, we don't really need you that much to go on a deep run like we did last year. So when he did come back and he's trying to puff out his chest and maybe assert himself a little bit, they're like, no, screw. And that's where he got really sensitive.
I mean, really, it's amazing how the thing unraveled. And then they were part of it, right? Like, if they went in with the attitude of, we don't need you, well, that's a mistake, too. Like, you don't have a clue. Because you're not going anywhere without a great talent. But and I just think you add it all together and mix it up, and that's what you got. You got this epic freaking collapse.
Stu, anything new on the old NBA rumor wire?
Great. I wonder if he regrets coming here, he being Kyrie.
Well, you really have a choice, right?
Well, he did, because there was the report that he wanted either the Celtics or San Antonio. And I wonder if he's made phone calls to people around the league. Maybe a phone call that he's made during the season to see if he would be welcome on another team.
Is that informed wondering, Jimmy?
Yes, it is. Well, I mean, what do you think?
I just kind of believe that maybe Kyrie's been making phone calls around the league. Maybe people he's talked to openly in the past and openly spoke about people he's talked to. And maybe he'd be welcome on a certain team with a certain former teammate.
Calling around to old friends, old teammates?
Old friends who have helped him during the season.
Saying, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I shouldn't have felt the way that I did. I mean, he's already admitted this. I don't know if you're talking about LeBron, but he said it himself that he had to call Bron and tell him how he felt. And
oh, if he ever went back there, boy, would he look like a tool. Would he look like the biggest tool of all time?
I mean, he already does. I don't know if it can get it really.
Oh, no, he has worse. Regrets about leaving what was a good situation because he thought it was a bad situation. Maybe he wants to reunite with a good situation.
But the bottom line is,
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, no,
here.
I get facilitating.
You know, some things I believe, but you know.
Yeah, you have to facilitate.
Yeah, no, it's the Socratic method, right? You know, we're sort of talking about.
I'm passive aggressive by nature anyway.
No, Murray, I disagree. It could get worse. If after this whole thing, he went back to LeBron, that would be worse.
For him nationally. For me locally, the Knicks are a better story.
I want to see him more.
Okay? Because
you get him 4 times a year as opposed to the Lakers, it's 2.
It's 2 times a year, not in your conference. You would only face him in the final. If he goes to the Knicks, they're in your face all season long. In your face. Same division. I think. Who knows the NBA divisions anymore, but you know what I mean. Like, you're going to see him all the time in your same stratosphere. He's right there up your keister if he's with the Knicks.
Brad, what is it like for you to go up against Kyrie and have him drop 40 in your face?
So if it's the Lakers, it's twice a year. You may not ever see him again in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. If he goes to the Knicks, four times a year, what is it, six times a year, four times a year, whatever it is, and then you know you're going to run into each other in the playoffs in the next couple of years at some point. It's just going to happen.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Well, the disappointing thing is Celtics fans won't get a chance to boo him because he won't play against you at the TD Garden. He'll only play against you at Madison Square Garden. He'll have to have load management when the Knicks come to Boston.
Just quickly, because look, I mean, you know, I know you're doing post-game off the Bruins game, too. Did you read Washburn today?
I did not. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
So Washburn today talks about how they're going to be all these changes coming, and one of the things he alludes to is Horford, and that Horford has never won a title. Horford wants to win a championship. If Kyrie goes, it might be more impetus for Horford to leave.
I don't think that's bad for you.
So that's what I wonder. Is that bad or good?
Because then you have a max slot there, Jimmy.
So if Horford and Kyrie are both gone, you have like $30 million.
Max slot.
So it's close.
And Jimmy, what are you hearing on Al Horford? Because I found it kind of interesting because I heard, you know, the radio broadcast. And I found it kind of interesting that Sean Grandy alluded to the fact out of the blue that Al Horford could opt out. And then you tweeted something about that.
Don't answer this yet, Jimmy, because I said this to you unsolicited before the show today, right? I said, You know what a great place for Horford would be?
Golden State.
He'd be perfect there.
He really would.
Sure would.
He'd be perfect there. With those guys, a big guy that can shoot and a pro, you play with, you know.
Oh, he'd do whatever they asked. He'd be perfect.
Oh, Klay Thompson and Curry and Horford? That'd be a good team to, like, be around, right? Because they'd win and they'd be good guys in that league. Like, all of it. He'd be perfect for Golden State.
So, again, Jimmy, what are you hearing there?
I'm worried that the Al Horford era in Boston might be over.
Okay, worried?
Which is a crime.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy you should feel good about even after that disaster. But if you want plan B, him leaving is the best thing for you. You get all the money back. And that's, if it's not quite a max slot, I'll give you a cocktail napkin. It doesn't feel like you're that far from it.
Oh, you can maneuver cap space in the NBA in a lot of different ways. So, but the thing about Horford is culture. He's a pro.
Yeah.
He'll do whatever you need to win games. If he leaves, you don't have that.
No, you're left with Jaylen Brown and his six championship rings.
And Marcus Smart when he wants to, you know, not be a jerk to people.
I understand.
Or maybe it means Kyrie will be back. That's what I don't like about it. To me, that's a big tell. Because why would Al want to leave? Because I feel like he likes
ring,
the coach.
He just said it. Ring. Championship.
Yeah, I think Horford's looking to chase rings now. And if Golden State offered him 1 year, $1 million, but a chance to play in the finals, Al Horford would take it.
All right, so
that's what I kind of believe.
We can, you know, we can rip Kyrie all day long. I'll do it. He deserves it. But you can start to turn your attention a little bit to what's next, and we'll do it with your phone calls here on Agenda-Free Friday. I don't know if it's not good. I don't know if more flexibility is good generally in that league. Al Horford without the other superstars is kind of a waste, isn't he? As much as we like him, 90 seconds, no commercials. Update them back to your phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.